Good day to all of you and welcome to We Schools Distance Learning Program on Marketing Management. We are going to discuss Chapter 11, which is on advertising and sales promotions, and how these decisions are taken as a part of the entire marketing strategy and a part of the entire marketing mix. A very quick look at the learning objectives of this chapter. This chapter focuses in an in-depth understanding of advertising and sales promotion, and hence we are going to look at the impact of advertising on market share. What are the different kinds of advertising? What are the different creative decisions in advertising? What kind of media are used for taking this advertising message across to the target audience? How do you select these media? What are the parameters that are used for selecting the medium to convey your message across to the target audience? After that, we will get into understanding the role of sales promotion. What are the basic characteristics of sales promotions? We'll understand the sales promotion tools available for consumer marketing, and we will also look at the sales promotion tools available for trade promotion, which is the dealer and distribution network promotion. Drawing back a little bit to the last chapter that we did on marketing communications and integrated marketing communication, the dramatic changes that have occurred in the field of marketing over the last 10-15 years have challenged marketeers continuously to improve how communication with the customer is happening and also use methods that will allow your organization's communication to break through the clutter that you find surrounding the customer all the time. A typical customer sees about 1,300 different marketing messages in a day. The second challenge was how to reach audiences with interesting and persuasive messages that they are able to connect with. And finally, ensure that marketing communication investments get an adequate return on investment for the manufacturer or marketeer at all times. So what's different about integrated marketing communications? For decades, marketeers and communicators, advertisers, sales promoters, marketing departments and all organizations have used communication methods and technologies to achieve different objectives. However, all these methodologies were used separately, and the interconnect between them and the linkages between the different methods used was not studied very intricately. Current marketing thinking suggests that these methods should be coordinated, should the linkages between these methods should be used and leveraged so that a unified message about the product, about the company, about the brand goes to the market, goes to the target audience. And hence, back to a revision slide on the different tools of marketing communications. The MarCom mix consists of personal selling, advertising, public relation, sales promotion, and I've added over here sponsorship marketing, something that we did not discuss in the previous chapter. So what is personal selling? It is the interaction between two people or three people, between a salesperson and a prospect, or between a salesperson and a customer, to sell products such as toothpaste, soap, insurance, automobiles, real estate. Advertising, on the other hand, is a one-way communication that informs either the end customer or the B2B customer about the products, its uses, its benefits, the brand, and ultimately tries to influence the brand choice of the customer. public relations is the unpaid form of communication which tries to gather positive publicity for the company and its channels or its brands through news items and editorial comments, and sometimes what are referred to as advertorials. Sales promotion is a method of promotion which tries to elicit an action or an immediate response from the market. There are consumer-oriented trade sales promotions, and we have trade-oriented sales promotions, which we will study as we get deeper into this chapter. Then sponsorship marketing is an opportunity for the company or the brand to target communication towards a very narrow but a highly desirable audience. For example, you can pick the top category customers and target communication to them through sponsorship marketing. It also associates a brand with either a charitable cause or a high profile event or a cultural affair. There are many organizations who will sponsor cricket matches or IPL or T20 matches, or they will go and sponsor football matches or sports, or they will, you know, sponsor cultural events like a musical evening or a musical night and try to create visibility in a elite or a desirable audience in another formal way. This kind of sponsorship marketing is also becoming very important as more and more television programs come and they get sponsored by several organizations to spread the message of the company and its brand across to the target audience. Sponsorship marketing is an indirect way of communicating to the customer the brand appeal and the emotional appeal of the brand to the target audience. Therefore, coming back to having looked at the tools or the mix of channels that are available in communication, the philosophy and practice of integrated marketing communication has resulted in changes in marketing communication because of this. The first thing, it has reduced the dependence on mass media advertising, which is a one way and uniform to all the people in the target audience. It has increased the emphasis on, reliance on highly targeted, selective communication methods at focused groups within the target audience. And it has expanded the communications effort to assess and measure return on investment on communication spends. Now, determining the appropriate mix of what tool to use as a part of your integrated marketing communication strategy depends on five broad factors. The first factor is, what is the intended market? Who is my customer? What is my customer doing? What are my customer's beliefs, attitudes, and values? What is the objectives that the communication initiative must achieve at the end of the campaign? What is the product life cycle stage of the product for whom the communication campaign is being designed? The fourth factor, what is the competition doing? And finally, what is the available budget for marketing communications to achieve the objectives that have been set forth in factor number two? So, an analysis and an understanding of these five factors and how they interplay with each other determine what kind of marketing mix, or sorry, what kind of promotion mix will integrated marketing communications use to communicate the product or the product line or the brand to the target audience. Now coming back to advertising, because advertising and personal selling are the focus of this chapter. Advertising is communication that is paid by the sponsor. The sponsor is very clearly identified, is impersonal, and typically one way. This is what you understand by the term advertising. The effect of advertising on a range of parameters is as follows. The communication mode of advertising is indirect and non-personal. It is impersonal. The control over the communication is very low. You cannot control the communication once it is gone. The feedback from the customer to an advertising campaign is typically very small to little. The feedback speed is delayed. So there is a time lag between the launch of a communication or an advertising campaign and the expected action from the customer. The direction of the message is typically unidirectional or one way from the sender to the receiver. Very little communication in an advertising happens from the receiver back to the sender. The message content control is very high. The sender of the message or the advertiser controls very carefully the message and the content that is sent out in an advertising or in an advertisement. Sponsor identification is there. It happens. Ability to reach large audiences is good and fast, which means you can communicate information very quickly to a large target audience through a mass media. Message flexibility is low because the same message has to be communicated to all the audiences, and therefore to control the message or the flexibility of the content becomes difficult. Now looking at advertising and market share, advertising has been known to create a positive effect on the market share. However, new brands which are recently launched in the market and whose market share is very small or very low are at a distinct disadvantage. The amount of money that they have to spend to keep the brand visibility high in the target audience is disproportionately higher for advertising and sales promotion. For advertising to be effective, it requires a certain minimum level of exposure in the market and to the target audience. Exposure beyond this minimum level can result in diminishing returns to the advertiser or the marketing communicator. So you need to keep this factor in your mind when you decide what kind of exposure the product or the brand or the advertising campaign will create in the market. Looking at the advertisement and its impact on the customer. Advertising affects all of us. It changes the way we look at things and it influences the purchases. It impacts the product and brand choices that we make on a day-to-day basis. A typical customer sees hundreds of ads in a day through various media. Because he sees so many advertisements throughout the day, customer develop from a behavioral perspective what we call selective perception. In this, the customer filters out all advertisements and all communication messages that are not pertinent to his immediate needs and requirements. And he only sees or notices a portion of the ads that are pertinent to his current needs and requirements. Why do customers look at advertisements? Customers look at advertisement for education. They try to learn about new products. They try to understand what the new products are and what are the benefits of these new products are. They look at advertisement for its entertainment appeal. There are lots of advertisements which are good and they appeal a lot to the senses of the viewer, and the customer uses that as entertainment value. Customers look at advertisement from a perspective of spending time, especially children who love to watch advertisements because they like to see the way the advertisement and the message has been executed. Looking at the advertisement from a perspective of attitude change, it has been found that advertisements seldom change an attitude from a moral code or culture. So there is an attitude which is strongly embedded in the mind of the customer, either through the culture or through the values or through the moral codes and ethics that the society follows, that is very difficult to change. However, advertisement is pretty successful in changing an attitude towards a brand, and also the attempt to create an attitude towards the ad itself, the effect is positive. However, to change a long-term held belief or a long-term attitude is difficult to change from the perspective of advertising. Now, looking at advertising and brand loyalty, advertisements are used to A, create brands, B, communicate the brand values, 3, to make the brand visible in the eyes of the target audience. The intended long-term objective is to reinforce the brand usage and to increase the frequency of the brand usage. The other two broad things that advertising must create or must do for brand loyalty. If you look at advertising and product attributes, advertising emphasizes on certain factors or certain attributes or certain benefits to the customer about the product, and it can affect the importance the customers may place on the various attributes in making a purchase decision. So let us now look at the major types of advertising that a marketer has at his command and how they can be used in a day-to-day basis. The first type of advertising is what we call the institutional advertising. Now, the institutional advertisements are typically targeted at 4 different audiences. It is the public at large, the average person in the society, the investment community, which is typically the bankers, the financial institutions, the stockholders, the shareholders, the share brokers, the customers, and the employees. The objective of institutional advertising is to create a certain attitude or to create a corporate image for the company in these 4 categories of audiences. There's another type of advertising which happens, which is called advocacy advertising. Now, advocacy advertising is a method which corporates use or a marketing communicator uses to express corporate views on certain issues facing the society, or it can be to react to criticism and blame, or it can be for reacting to media attacks either on the product or on the organization for its policies and procedures. Advocacy advertising may also be used to create a culture, a mindset, or to change the mindset of the customer regarding an impending legislation or regarding an action which the company may be intending to take a little time in future, which may not be acceptable to the customer, like increasing prices or doing away with certain models or reducing the availability of certain products in future. So these kind of advocacy advertising is done for the purposes that I just explained. Coming to product advertising, there are 3 broad types of product advertising. One is called the pioneering advertising. The second is called the competitive advertising. And the third is called the comparative price, advertising. Now, the pioneering advertising is typically done at the launch of a new product or to create what we call the primary demand for a new product. It is typically done at the introduction stage or the first stage of the product life cycle. The objective of pioneering advertising is to generate attention or create attention, interest, generate interest. It is primarily aimed at creating awareness and information about the product in the minds of the target audience. The competitive advertising, which is the next type of product advertising, is done to influence the demand for a specific product or a brand within the organization's brand portfolio or the product portfolio. This is done in the growth phase of the product life cycle, and the objective is to persuade the customer to buy and remind the customer to buy the product or the brand whenever they make the purchase decision. The third type of advertisement is the comparative advertising, which compares attributes of competing brands, or which does or helps the customer to do what is called comparative shopping. The benefits of that, it catches attention very fast. It can change or enhance purchase intentions towards a brand. It can increase the penetration of the message in the mind of the customer quickly. It can generate positive attitudes, and it increases the personal relevance or the justification for buying a certain product or a brand. The issue with most comparative advertising is that it has been outlawed before 1970s, and it should not make false or misleading statements about the competitor's brand. There are a lot of legal and statutory issues related to comparative advertising which must be tackled before the organization gets into this in a major way. Now, having understood the different kinds of advertisements that are possible, what are the steps in creating an advertising campaign? Now, the first phase in the advertising campaign is what are the related ads, understanding of the related ads, what is going to be the theme, what is going to be the slogan, what is the appeal that we are going to use in the advertisement, is it related to specific products, brands or services, and what is the period of time for which the campaign will run. The decision making, the steps involved in creating a campaign, determine the campaign objectives, make the creative decisions, select the media, and evaluate the campaign. So, four broad steps in the campaign process. And before you get into the process, you have to define the what are the competition ads, what are the themes, slogan, and other things that we want to do in the advertising.